Trainer Talks and Tales acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Turrbal and Yugara people of Meanjin. We pay our respects to elders past and present and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Trainer Talks and Tales love having an array of guests with a variety of opinions. However, the views of the individuals do not necessarily reflect the perspectives of the host facilities.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Trainer Talks and Tales. You are joined by just Tess in the intro. Once again, Daisy is still in the UK, but that's okay. She does join us on this episode. So welcome to this episode. We are going to be chatting with Steph this week, and she's actually at Halls Gap Zoo, and she's actually telling us all about her red panda training. So they're doing some pretty cool stuff over there. I really enjoyed this episode. Hope you do too. Let's get into the chat.
Steph, welcome to Trainer Talks and Tales. We are so excited to chat to you today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. I'm keen to talk all things training on this episode, which we haven't done in a few weeks, so it's going to be really fun. But before we get into that, we do, of course, start every single episode with a fast five. So are you happy with we get straight into it?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, cool. Question number one, what is your dream species?
Spotted tail quoll.
Cinema or restaurant?
Ooh, restaurant.
Favorite color?
Purple.
Favorite carnivore species?
Probably spotted tail quoll as well.
Okay, finally, what is one of your favorite tattoos that you have?
Ooh, my meerkats actually on my thigh.
Cool, you have so many. There was like so many amazing ones to choose from.
Yeah, thanks.
So cool. Well, Steph, thank you again for joining us. We can't wait to chat, but we usually love to start our episodes with kind of diving a little bit back into your background, a little bit of your history, and kind of love for you to share how your sort of career has looked and where that's shaped to what you're doing now.
Yep. So I started as a baby keeper, just 16 years old. I started volunteering at Australia Zoo. I was there for 3 years and gained a lot of great experience, especially with ungulates, which has helped me sort of where I am now. I did get put in birds, which was a shock to me because I wasn't a bird person like at all. And then I sort of fell in love with them just from working with them, and then actually managed to get a position as a head bird keeper at a bird park up in Mullaney. And then I started free flying my own birds. So I've got 5 macaws, a bunch of cockatoos and some smaller species that I started free flying. I started helping other people free flight train their birds as well. And, you know, I always loved carnivores and sort of ended up with birds, which is, you know, they don't go together as such. But then from there, I managed a couple of other little smaller zoos, smaller facilities, and then eventually ended up moving down to Victoria, where I am at Halls Gap Zoo at the moment. I am the lead carnivore and bird keeper at Halls Gap Zoo.
So cool. Initially, when you said, oh, I'm not really a bird person, I was like, wait, what? I feel like I know everything I know about you and your personality.
Yeah.
Is that you love birds. So it's like so fun to hear that necessarily wasn't where your passion initially started. And then it's just something that's developed into like huge things for you.
Yeah, exactly. I was really, really loving big cats. And then, yeah, I just got stuck in birds. And I was like, actually, I love this.
Easy to do.
Yeah.
Your free flight videos of your parrots free flying at the parks are just incredible. I could watch that for hours. So
thank you.
Do some impressive stuff, that's for sure. Now, I haven't actually had the pleasure of going to Halls Gap Zoo, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about it, where it is, and what other animals that you actually care for there.
Yeah. So we are in the Grampians in Victoria, so about 3 hours west of Melbourne. So we get a fair few tourists, you know, coming to do like mountain climbing and seeing the scenery. So we get people stopping up at the zoo doing that. We are the largest privately owned facility in Victoria. So we have about 160 species at the moment. I personally care for carnivores and birds, but I do work with pretty much all the species that we have. You know, I work with pandas, Asian small clawed otters. We've got spotted tail quolls. We're actually one of the best breeding facilities of spotted tail quolls in Australia, which I'm extremely proud of. I also work with meerkats. We've got quite a large range of bird species like red-tailed black cockatoos, yellowtails. We've got Amazon parrots, rainbow lorikeets, and then a wedge-tailed eagle, a couple of other birds of prey as well.
That's so cool. It's like such a huge variety of different species to maintain and like try and be aware of all the different husbandry goals, training goals, nutrition, etc. But it would be so fun and so reinforcing being able to work with such a variety of species. Is there like a particular one that you find like the most fun, or like one of the species that's kind of apart from
I won't say qual.
Or like something that's kind of shocked you, I guess, maybe working.
The pandas in particular, I do love. They're incredibly challenging, but then I say rhinos I really love. So I got a fair bit of rhino experience, you know, when I started as a baby keeper, and then I've just grown in love with them. Like, they're just little puppy dogs, really. They just want to be petted and loved, and they're so great with their training. Like, they're food motivated, but they're also just people motivated. They want to please you like a puppy does. So I do love working with the rhinos. Giraffe, however, are very complicated animals and probably one of the hardest I've ever trained.
That's so good. Well, we would absolutely love to dive in a little bit more about the pandas that you mentioned, because we can't wait to talk training, and we're going to specialize a little bit with that species today. Do you mind actually just touching briefly on your residents and kind of like their different approaches to training, their personalities, etc.?
Yeah. So we have two males. We've got Mohan, who is 7 years old. He is stubborn, to say the least. Incredibly stubborn. He's not very food motivated whatsoever, and he doesn't like it when things change. And that does include, like, if you bring a new piece of cleaning equipment or even just a wheelbarrow into his exhibit, he's like, okay, I'm not going to come out of this tree for 3 days. He doesn't like kids yelling. He doesn't like the wind. He doesn't like it when it's raining. So anytime we do training with him, it's always on his terms, and we sort of have to factor it around like the weather being good or if we have his favorite treats in stock. He's quite a hard animal to work with, especially compared to his neighbor Shardle, who's 8 years old. He was born at Perth Zoo, and he is just a dream. Like, anything you want to teach him, he's like, okay, I am so ready for this. He's incredibly food motivated. He's the one I like to call all reliable.
Sounds like you have to set up all the antecedents for one, and the other one's like, yep, let's go with any conditions.
Yep, exactly. He's Shardle, like, anytime. I've done encounters with him when it's been, you know, absolutely pouring rain, and he's like, yep, this is fine.
I think it's like, it's, I think it's such a great reminder that you can know so much about a species, but at the end of the day, it comes down to the individual that you're working directly with, because they sound polar opposite, but you still got to achieve the same behaviors. You just have to set it up super different for it to be successful.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, so you've been able to successfully take blood from your red pandas. Can you touch on how your history of guest encounters with them actually helped set up this behavior?
Yeah, of course. So we are one of the most interactive zoos in Victoria. So we do run quite a lot of encounters. Our panda encounter is our most popular. So what we've trained the pandas to do is walk back and forwards across people's laps. So we use directional stationing for that one. They will hop up on their shoulders as well. Just putting two paws on the shoulder, we'll get a photo, and then people get to just feed them with a flat hand. So because we have different people coming in every single day, our guests are never the same. You know, the minimum age is 9 years old. So we'll run encounters from people that are children all the way to the elderly, you know, different ethnicities. So the pandas are used to just about every single person that exists that can walk into their enclosure. They're not shy. They're totally fine with anyone sitting on that bench and them sitting completely on their lap. So for us to be able to do those experiences has actually benefited their training when it comes to medical procedures. So they're not scared of vets, anyone, you know, wearing scrubs or any other sort of clothes. They're not just going to look at the keepers and go, okay, you guys are the only people we're going to work with. They're happy to work with absolutely anyone. So the encounters have really, really benefited us that way.
I mean, that's so beneficial for you guys. I can imagine, like, that's been so helpful, because even from my bit of experience with doing cooperative care stuff, a lot of the time they're quite comfortable doing it with the trainers that they know, but then we have to insert fake vets or, you know, get them used to a variety of different people in different outfits. So yeah, that's like so cool that that's, you know, really helped shape the success of that behavior. And like, massive congratulations to start with on being able to take blood from a red panda. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Do you have any other sort of behaviours that you've been able to utilise that's helped shape that blood draw?
So we had a few that we started off with. So they're really great with their tactiles. We pretty much trained to touch everywhere on their body. So they were already used to that. We do have to use high value rewards for Shardle, which is unusual because he is the more like happy-go-lucky panda, but he doesn't really like being touched. So that one took a bit longer with him compared to Mo, who's actually like not fazed with being touched anywhere, considering, you know, he is the panda that doesn't really want much to do with people when he doesn't want to. But we also trained Pet Pack as well. So that was more if we needed to take them to the vet or unfortunately we are in a high risk bushfire area and we have had bushfires around the zoo before where we have had to evacuate some of our animals. So that was why we pet packed those animals, and we do actually do pet pack training with most of our species that can fit in a pet pack, I do say. So yeah, but you know what, I think they wouldn't be too bad at it actually. But yeah, we also trained standing. So that was something that I needed to train to get them used to, you know, having both of their front paws being held. That was quite easy. We just did a lure above their head. And then once they got the hang of that, we just paired it with a command of an index finger pointing straight up. So they'll actually do that during our encounters now too, which makes a pretty good photo. We'll have the pandas stand next to a person on their little back legs. It's usually a customer favorite.
Sounds like we need to go to Hall's Gap test.
Yeah.
Do it.
Got a long list of places.
Now, I'd love to hear a little bit more about that process of the blood draws. Can you run us through how that looked like and where that eventuated to?
Yeah, of course. So to start off, we did train the tactiles, particularly we had to get them used to having their front paws being held and squeezed. So what I did in particular is I used a squeeze as a bridge and then followed up with a reinforcer. So as soon as they got used to that, what I'd do is I'd squeeze their paw, they'd look over to me and they knew that they were going to get a reinforcer for that. That one was fairly easy, followed by the standing behavior that I talked about before. Once they did that, they had to get used to having three people pretty much right in their faces, which again, because we did the encounters, they were quite used to. What was weird for them though was having, you know, both of their hands being held, because that isn't something that we actually do during those encounters. Mo in particular was great with it, being the panda that he is. I was very, very surprised. He was totally unfazed. Shardle took a little bit longer with that one. But then once they were totally fine with three people, we started introducing clippers. So they'd never ever seen clippers before. They'd never felt the vibration of clippers. I wasn't sure how that one was going to go. Both pandas were totally fine with it, totally unfazed. What we'd do is turn the clippers on, hold it just against their paws, and then let them sort of feel the vibration. We did start by just holding them away from them. They didn't care though. So we moved sort of fairly quickly onto holding it against their skin. My clippers that I have are actually like quite noisy. So I didn't know what I was expecting really, but both of them didn't even look. They were just, as soon as you were bridge reinforced, they were like, okay, we don't care whatsoever. So that was great. Didn't take us long at all. Followed by that, we did do a small shave on them just to see sort of how they would react. We didn't completely shave the area because it wasn't actually the time for the blood draw. Again, they were totally unfazed. And then after that, what we did was we bought in just like a pen to sort of, you know, give them a little bit of a pinprick as such, just a bit of pressure in the area, again, to see what they would do. Neither of the pandas reacted whatsoever. They were just concentrated on, you know, the food that was in my hand. So it was easier than I was expecting it to be, considering the nature of both of the pandas. But it did take us about 2 months to train both of them to be able to do it.
2 months. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. I was just going to ask a question. Is there a particular reason that you opted to utilize the squeeze on the paw for a bridge instead of conditioning like a verbal or whistle bridge for the pandas?
They do have a verbal bridge for their other training, but it was more to have them constantly concentrate on me, who was the one dishing out the reinforcer, rather than our vet nurses or the person rolling the vein. So when I would squeeze, he would look straight at me and then I'd reinforce. So it was just easier as well, because they were concentrating on trying to get the blood. I didn't want to be, you know, too chatty as such. So for me and the panda, it just worked really well.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, I think as long as it works for your facility and you guys as trainers, like, I don't think it really matters. Like, that's really cool that you'd be able to use that. I haven't heard that before. Did you have to focus at all on sort of the duration? Because I know that, you know, taking a blood doesn't take, unfortunately, 3-4 seconds. It can take quite a while to actually successfully get a full blood draw. Was it something that you just kind of variably reinforced whilst they were staying calm in that position? Or how did you tackle the duration?
Yep. So they were getting reinforced about every 10 to 15 seconds. We did use grapes as well, because that is their most high value.
I was going to ask that. So.
Yeah. Nice. Love they grapes. Do get apples and fig during encounters. So it's sort of medium value for them for encounters. Whereas, yeah, the grapes are the absolute most high value things that both of them love. So they just get half a grape every 10 to 15 seconds. And that's sort of what I found when I was doing the training, is how long it took them to lose interest. So as they were standing, if I waited any longer than that, they would sort of try to pull their arms down and then, you know, start walking around. So if I did it every 15 seconds, they would just stand there constantly. We counted it as well. They were happy to stand for 7 minutes.
Wow, that's so cool. Yeah.
The blood draw didn't take 7 minutes, but that's sort of like their maximum.
Man, you could do numerous blood draws in 7 minutes. That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. I love that so much. Was there like a particular part of the behavior that you found to be kind of the hardest part to train, or like the biggest challenge you came across?
The biggest challenge was definitely Mohan. So we could only do the training when he felt like doing the training. So that might have, you know, been like once a week or twice a week, because he's not a food motivated panda whatsoever. So it was just sort of when he was, you know, down walking around, we'd be like, quick, let's do some training, he's in the mood. Whereas Shardle, you could rock up, you know, 10 times a day in the enclosure and he's like, yes, I'm so ready. So yeah, just working around Mo's personality was probably the hardest.
Opportunity.
I love that. Everybody has to drop tools and be like, all right, I know you're in the middle of cleaning, but let's go.
Yeah, I just be on the radio like, guys, Mo's down, quick run.
So good.
I love that. Dictated by Red Panda. How good.
Yeah, he runs the place.
Now, we actually had a few questions from our listeners and we can't always answer them all, but you actually answered one, which was, what is their highest reinforcer? So that was one of them, nice. Grapes. So that's good to know. But another one was, what is something you have always wanted or hope to train with your red pandas?
So I'd love to teach scruff training next. So they do really well with IM injections, but I'd like to teach for a subcut. So scruffing the back of their necks for an extended period of time. They haven't had that sort of level of training for injections yet.
Awesome. Amazing. That would be so cool.
Yeah.
It's on my list. I'm doing it next.
If you do that, I would love to see that. That would be really cool to see how you can make that positive for them and be able to get those, yeah, fluids into them or whatever, vaccinations, et cetera, that their pandas need.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, if you've got 7 minutes up your sleeve as well, I can imagine you're doing ultrasounds, x-rays, all these things.
Yeah.
They'll just stay there the whole time.
Oh, they're such good boys.
Last question we had, which I'd love to hear your answer, is, so obviously with the blood draw behavior, I assume you sort of overtrain under ask. How do you plan on maintaining that blood draw behavior when we don't frequently require the bloods?
So the team has actually been fantastic, the carnivore team, and they have been doing it regularly. So we sort of try to aim for about twice a week. If Mario stays down after an encounter, we'll try to fit it in then. While we're doing just basic training, we're not using the high reinforcer of grapes. We're just using their fig or their apple. And then the actual grapes come in during a proper blood draw. But we've just been using just a pen. You can do the training with just one person, which works great. But if we need to, you know, sort of do a little bit of a reminder, we will just grab a whole team again and take them in probably, you know, once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's cool. And I guess it keeps them, you know, used to having a variety of different people and like a larger number of people coming in now and then too. How many kind of grapes or high value food are they allowed per day? Because do you kind of monitor, I assume, with the sugar? Is that why that's like top?
Yeah. So grapes are super high in sugar. So they get 15 grams of fig and 20 grams of apple a day. So if we're going to be using grapes, we'll just substitute it. So they can have about 35 grams of grapes, and that is their maximum. Our boys do get weighed once a week on a Saturday. So we make sure that they're not getting too fat from all of their training. But so far it's been perfect. They've maintained a great weight. So it's been working really well for us.
That's so good. I mean, I understand grapes are my favorite too, so I'd want to do it.
I got a real hankering for grapes now.
Yeah.
Just your blood draw for one.
Yeah. Reinforced tests with grapes. I love that. Steph, this has been really fun. I honestly don't know too much about red pandas, but it's really amazing to hear some of the training work that you've done. And I actually feel like there is a lot of red pandas in human care in Australia. So I'm hoping that there's lots of keepers listening and trainers that would be really inspired by some of the work you guys are doing down at Horse Gap.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. And yeah, if anyone has any questions, they're always willing to, they're welcome to contact me as well.
Yeah. And is that somewhere that all your training is going to be published soon? That you want to share?
Hopefully, Thalassinus. Yep.
Yeah, okay. We'll keep an eye out for that next edition.
And we'd love to see lots of lovely photos and videos too. If you can send them our way, we'll put up on our socials.
Yeah, of course. We've got some great photos from our last blood draw.
Yes, that would be so good. Thank you so much for your time, Steph. We really appreciate it.
Well, guys, hope you enjoyed that episode. I certainly did. She provided us with lots of great photographs and videos of the training as well, which we'll definitely add to the show notes and on our socials, because there's nothing cuter than a little red panda. So hope you enjoyed the app. Have a good week. We'll be back in your ears next week. See ya.